Such a pleasure to sit down with you, Dr. Ron Canole. I can't even begin to kind of put into perspective how much your music has shaped me over many years, because you've been in ministry, one, for longer than I've been alive. And I really just want to start. Really, the first thing that comes to mind for me is we often kind of mistaken worship as just a song. And so my first question to you is to give a basis for this interview and this conversation is, what is worship?
Thank you for the interview, by the way, and thank you for letting me. I salute your dad and you and the ministry here at the church, the choir, the band, and all of the people that make this ministry work. I salute you guys. You're doing a wonderful job. As far as worship goes, worship, if I can put it all in a capsule, it's intimacy with God. And it began in the beginning of the scriptures in Genesis, mm-hmm. Chapter 1 and chapter 2, when Adam had intimacy with the Father. Adam and Eve had intimacy with God. They fellowship with Him. They talked. They conversed. They were close to Him. And basically, that's what our goal is. That's what worship does. It praise and worship, let me put it like that, creates an environment for God to manifest His presence so that we can worship Him, so that we can honor Him and be intimate with Him. And that's basically what it is. Now, there's a whole lot of other expressions that bring us to that point. But ultimately, what we're trying to do is have intimacy with our Heavenly Father. Mm. And that's what He wants. Our praise and worship is the avenue, or it's the vehicle that we use to create an environment where God would manifest His presence. And when He manifests His presence, then we engage with Him. We have fellowship with Him. We have communion with Him. We have an intimate relationship with Him.
Yeah. I want to ask, where do you think, because yes, we're leading from the idea of worship and what it is in terms of intimacy, and then praise and worship, what is the importance, should I say, of music in terms of how it begins to bring people into that place of intimacy? What is the role or responsibility of music to do that?
Well, see, that's one of the things that we misunderstand. And we think praise and worship also has to always involve music, and it doesn't. See, when you go to Genesis chapter 22, that's the first place the word worship is used in the scripture, Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. That's when Abraham took his son Isaac to Mount Moriah to offer him as a burnt offering. Now, in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 22, it says, Abraham says to his servants, he says, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Now, from Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, all through that passage of scripture, all through that chapter, there was absolutely no mention of music. But when you dig into that study, you see that there are 9 things that are associated with a worship experience. Okay, and when you walk through that chapter, you'll see in verse 1 where it says, after these things, God tested Moses, Abraham. So first thing is a worship experience will involve a test. Then it says, God spoke to Moses, Abraham, said, Abraham said, "Here am I." How did Abraham know that there was his voice? It's because Abraham has been spending intimate time with Him. He knows the Father's voice when the Father speaks to him. So we have to know His voice. And if we don't have an intimate relationship with Him, we won't know His voice. You've got to spend time with the Father to know His voice. And then third, In chapter 2, he says, take your son, your only son Isaac, and take him to a place where he would show him. Number 3 is a journey. Mm. Okay? And in our worship experience, there's 3 types of journeys. There's a physical journey, there's an intellectual journey, and then there's a spiritual journey. Abraham experienced all 3 of them at the same time. So we have to be willing to go wherever he sends us, go wherever he takes us, do whatever he tells us to do. That's part of our worship experience. Number 4, he said, the Bible, the scripture says that Abraham left early in the morning. Mm. Number 4 was obedience. See, sometimes God will tell us to do something and we'll put something else in front of what he told us to do. Mm. But he wants to be first in everything that we do. So being obedient is the 4th thing. Another thing is an offering. God told him, said, give your son as an offering, a burnt offering on the mountain in which I shall tell you. Number 4 is an offering. We have to be willing to give of ourselves and of our possessions, of whatever. We have to realize that God owns everything. And when he tells you to give him something, he's saying, give me what I own. Mm. Give me what I deserve. Give me what you owe me. Okay? Because we're just stewards of everything that he has. So our offerings are part of our worship experience. And then later on in that chapter, he says that Abraham prepared wood, fire, and a knife. Okay? Mm-hmm. In other words, we have to prepare ourselves to experience the manifest presence of God and have intimacy with him. So number 6 is separation. Separation. When Abraham told his servants, says, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we'll come back to you, okay? We have to separate ourselves from people or anything that's going to prohibit us from doing what God called us to do. Mm. That's part of our worship experience, is separating ourselves. He says in Revelations, come out from among them. In other words, I want you to be separated. I want you to be holy. I want you to be set apart. Mm. Okay?
Yeah.
I want you to be set apart. He says, and then he says, I want you to bring, like we said, bring the wood, the fire, and the knife. Okay? This is number
7.
I missed one somewhere. But anyway, I'm going to keep going because I'm on a roll. All right. So the number 7, he said, each one of those things, the wood, the fire, and the knife, would represent an element of suffering. See? Mm. Fire kills and destroys. And so the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, allows us to kill our past life. And it changes us and purifies us so that we can be able to be presented to a holy God. And then the knife represents the suffering. The Bible says in Hebrew, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Mm. Okay? The wood represents the breaking of a curse. Galatians 3:13 says, a curse is the one who hangs up on a tree. Christ hung on a tree for us, and he broke the curse that had been placed upon us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. And then the number 9 would be absolute trust in God. Mm. Abraham had absolute trust in God. And that's part of our worship experience, to have absolute trust in God. Because when he was on that mountain with Isaac, and he raised up the knife to kill his only son, the son that he waited 100 years for, he had absolute trust in God, because God had told him over in chapter 17 and also in chapter 21 that through this child, Isaac, your inheritance shall be. See, so we know that Abraham has absolute trust in God, because he said to the servants in verse 5, he says, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham has it fixed in his mind. I'm going to kill this child that you gave me, this child that you promised me. I'm going to kill him. But I'm going to stay on this mountain till you raise him up again.
Mm.
And then we are going to go back down to that mountain our servant.
There's something so powerful about what you've said, and really using the story of the example of this story when it comes to worship. There's something I've always loved about this story of Abraham and Isaac, is that after Abraham tells his servants that, look, the boy and I are going to go yonder to worship.
Yeah.
Is that Isaac turns to his father and says, we have everything here that we need, but we do not have a sacrifice. We don't actually have a lamb, because he didn't realize he was the sacrifice.
Exactly.
But what it taught me and what that told me is that Abraham had spent so much time educating his son that he realized worship needed sacrifice. And there was a place of education that was taking place between the father and the son. Absolutely. And so I want to move a little bit into the music aspect because I see that you have such a heart for teaching a younger generation and the next generation how to worship, what it means to worship. Mm-hmm. And I see that with Abraham and with Isaac. And so what's that been for you, having been in worship, in the worship music for so long, for 44 years, and to be able to raise up a generation who aren't just simply about knowing how to sing, but understand how to worship and the responsibility of it.
Okay. What I was sharing with you in Genesis chapter 22, these are the foundations for worship. And worship, on that mountain, there was no place does it say that there was music.
Mm.
No place does it say there was a song. Abraham and Isaac may have sang a song, but if they did sing one, it wasn't important enough to be recorded in that chapter.
Mm.
And God specifically used the word worship.
Mm.
Okay? And music was not associated with it. Now, what does music do? Okay? Why is music important? In Matthew chapter 6, when the disciples asked Jesus, Yeshua, said, teach us how to pray. Well, remember what he said? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, with every account of a heavenly experience, what's going on in heaven?
Worship, music, sound.
Music.
Yeah.
Music. That's why it's important. And David had that revelation. That's why he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. He had that understanding. He had that. And that's why he continually surrounded himself with praise and worship. He set up a tabernacle. Okay? Mm. He set up a tabernacle when he brought the Ark of the Covenant from the home of Obed-Edom. And he brought it to Mount Zion. And he placed it there on Mount Zion. And he established singers and musicians, priests and Levites in that tabernacle to praise and worship with music continually before the Father. See? Mm. So now that is important. The music is important to our worship experience, but our worship experience is not music.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, worship experience is not music. It is the means to get to the worship experience. Mm. It's what we use to get to the place of intimacy with God. See? Praise in Psalms 22, verse 3 says, thou art holy, thou who inhabits the praises of Israel.
Yep.
In other words, he's saying God is going to manifest his presence wherever we begin to praise him. See, yep. We begin to praise him. So praise puts a demand on God to manifest himself in our presence. The worship, Jesus said, worship in spirit and in truth. Spirit was first. He said, worship in spirit first. What is spirit? Spirit is the movement of air. We sit here and talk. This is our spirit that's going into this microphone. Mm. The words that I say is going into this microphone. So he said, worship in spirit. Just like I was saying this morning with your dad and your mom. I said, "Your mom." I asked your mom, "Can Pastor Wally just think he loves you?" No, he has to say it. He has to demonstrate it. It's an action word. We have to demonstrate it. And that's what Abraham did on that mountain. He demonstrated the fact that he loved God because he was obeying God. He was doing what God told him to do. So music, praise puts a demand on God to manifest himself in our presence. Worship puts a demand on God to be intimate with us. Okay?
Yeah.
And he will be intimate with us when we worship him. See, it has, can you worship him without music? Absolutely. The thief on the cross, there was no music playing on there up at Calvary. Okay. And the thief on the cross that said, "Yeshua, Jesus, remember me when you get to your kingdom." I mean, they had a conversation going on up there. Okay. He said, "You are a king. Well, just remember me. Whenever you got that, when you get to that kingdom, I want to be there too." Was there any music playing? No.
No.
Was he baptized? No. Did he say the sinner's prayer? No. Did he join the church? No. Did he do any of that stuff that we do? No. Did he praise and worship? No. He said, "Listen, Jesus, I see who you are." And everybody has been celebrating you and following you and trusting you. I see who you are. And I see right now that you have authority over these soldiers and over Caesar and over the people in the synagogues, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those other people. I see that it's something different about you. And with you, let me be with you. Wherever you're going, I don't know where you're going, but wherever you're going, wherever you get to your kingdom, I want to be there with you. And what did Jesus say? "This day, you're going to be with me, bro."
Yeah.
"I'm taking you with me." Yeah. You know who I am. You know, you realize who I am. I'm taking with, I don't know. You know, the thief, he didn't know where the thief didn't know where he was going or when he was going to get there. But whatever place, wherever Jesus was, that was his kingdom and he was going to be with him.
Yeah.
See, they didn't sing no songs.
Yeah. I think something that I love just even about this conversation is the amount of the word of God that is flowing out of your lips. And also because it's so funny that just about 3 days ago I was on Instagram and someone sent me a video which was really talking about you and talking about the song Ancient of Days and how much this isn't music for the sake of entertainment. There's so much of the word of God that is flowing through the music and flowing through the praise and the worship and the importance of that, that if you're going to carry people into the presence of God, you're going to bring people through praise and worship to the opportunity to encounter and have an intimacy with God. It is important that it stands upon his word.
Right.
And so I want to just really talk a little bit about that and the importance of that when shaping what music looks like in the place of praise and worship.
In Isaiah said that, I'm going to paraphrase, he says, God's word will not return void. Okay, so it's important in whatever we do. Okay, whether we preach his word, sing it, teach it, whatever, however we use his word, it's going to accomplish what he purposed for it to accomplish. So it's important to have songs that are based upon his word, see? So God responds to his word, see? And like we just said for a moment ago, with every account of a heavenly experience, there's praise and worship around the throne of God. So when Jesus said you must worship in spirit and in truth, you have to understand that his word is truth. Okay? Yeah. When we speak his word, that's spirit. The words that are his that we speak is truth. Mm. God is not a man that he should lie. Mm. He doesn't. So when he says something, whatever he said must come to pass. Whatever he spoke must be accomplished. Okay?
Yeah.
And so when we take his word and his and we put it in the music that we have, that is the key. That is the key. He has to honor that. Whenever we sing, when we sing to him, you are my healer, he has to be our healer.
Mm.
You are my salvation. He has to be that because that's what he said he is.
Mm.
See?
Yeah.
You are my deliverer. He has to deliver us because we're just saying what he told us to say.
Mm.
See?
Yeah.
Praise is, and I have my own definition for praise, and since I'm a university professor and I have a doctorate degree, I'm able to make up some definitions of my own. Oh, okay, so praise is when we recite, rehearse, celebrate, or when we recite, rehearse, celebrate, and demonstrate the acts, the works, the deeds, the promises, and the character and the attributes of God.
Mm.
Okay? Now that's what praise is. You know, it's like praise is when you tell your wife, oh baby, this meal sure was good. You know?
Yeah.
That's giving her praise. Mm. Okay? And what's the next thing that she does? She responds to that and give you a big hug and kiss you on your bald head. Okay?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That causes a response. That causes a response. When you tell her she's beautiful, what she do? Oh, sweetheart, I love you, and puts arms around you.
Yeah.
Okay, that triggers something. Same way with God. Father, I love you. You have been so good to me.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I know it. Come here, let me bless you.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and there's one thing I just wanted just to tilt this, because I think there are two really important aspects that I see in your music, which is one that I've mentioned the word, but also the level of intentionality. And watching this as you were rehearsing yesterday with the sound, in terms of the instruments, that nothing is wasted. And we know this in scripture when you look at the role that Lucifer had before the fall. What is the importance of melody when you are praising God? So beyond just the words, yes, speaking the hearts of Christ, but the sound and the melody in terms of carrying people into that place of worship.
Sound is the smallest element of being. Okay?
Mm.
It's the smallest element of being, and it and that element is in every being.
Mm.
Okay, so what is sound? Sound, we call it the Greek word is sound is bass. We call the word spirit.
Mm.
Okay, in the Greek, that word is pneuma, and that means the movement of air.
Mm.
Okay. When you have pneumonia, you can't move the air. Your lungs are congested and you can't move the air. That's okay?
Yeah.
So how did God create everything he created?
Breath.
He spoke spirit. It into being.
Yeah.
Okay? He spoke it into being. And so when we put, what is music?
Mm.
Music is a sound, or it's a frequency that goes through the air.
Mm.
See? And so God is saying, okay, praise me with this. See?
Yeah.
That's why, as you see in Psalms 150, he talked about David, the writer, talked about praise him on the high cymbals, praise him on the wind instruments, praise him with the trumpets, praise him with the timbrels and the drums and the tambourines and all these things. And then to top it off, he said, let everything that has breath
praise the Lord.
See?
Yeah.
So when we use these things, there are seven different words for Hebrew words, ancient Hebrew words for praise. And I won't go through all of them. I won't go through all of them describing them. But probably the most important one, the two most important ones are halal. Okay. Mm. halal. That means to joyfully express our love and our appreciation.
Yeah.
And then the other one is tehillah, which means to express our joy, our love, our appreciation with music.
Yeah.
See? Well, so when you, basically tehillah is when you add music to any of those six definitions for praise in Hebrew.
Mm.
There's yada, todah, zamar, barak, shabak, halal, and tehillah.
Mm.
Okay. And when you put music to any of those six, you have what's called tehillah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. One thing I just like to ask for you to do as we round up is really to pray for the next generation of worshipers, of worship leaders and minstrels, that they would walk in the reality of what God has purposed for worship to be.
Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to be on these airwaves and be on this program to talk about praise and worship and what it means to you. We know that the one thing that we do, that one thing that we must do is to worship you. We recognize that everything else that goes on in the sanctuary is for us, but the praise and worship is for you. And so, Father, I pray that this next generation will come into an understanding and understand the reasons why we do what we do as praise and praises and worshipers. I pray, Father, that they will get a knowledge of the word so that the word and the music can be balanced. Because once the word is put in the balance, I know that you will not reject it. You will not rebuke it, Father, but you will receive it. Because when we sing what you say, then you have to abide by what you have to abide by what you have declared. And so we look to you for wisdom. We look to you for guidance. And we look to you, Father, for blessings and favor upon the coming generation, the generation that is and the generations that are to come, so that they would be able to worship you according to how Yeshua, Jesus, your son, said to worship you in spirit and in truth. We give you glory. We pray that this short interview will be enlightenment for someone who is listening or someone who has a desire to serve in the praise and worship ministry. We give you glory. We thank you and we praise you. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.